Haynes's manager wants to pause the harbor expansion project, and salmon sizes are varied across the state so far. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. Haynesboro manager Bill Seward has placed the Portage Cove Small Boat Harbor expansion project on hold. The reason, he says, is simple. The LUTAC dock is crumbling before our eyes and needs to be fixed. And so he wants to poke around and see if money set aside for the harbor can be used for the LUTAC dock instead. The announcement came Wednesday morning in an email that caused excitement and frenzy among harbor supporters and opponents. As of Wednesday, when the email was unleashed to stakeholders, borough employees, and assembly members, Seward had been on the job as manager for just 2.5 weeks. But he says he knew how he felt about LUTAC versus the harbor project before he even started.
I started looking at both and started looking at the risks associated with each. The one thing that grabbed me the most was that the what ifs. We have a harbor, not sufficient, obviously, because we have a wait list. So we're definitely in need of a harbor expansion. But if LUTAC was to become unusable for whatever reason, it collapsed or the structure was deemed unsafe by a professional, that would disrupt a critical supply chain in our economy.
Not to mention, he says, the fact that someone could get seriously injured or worse if the dock fails. Seward cited a $90,000 study done 2 years ago on the LUTAC dock that said the structure is running on borrowed time and that it, quote, has reached the end of credible 60-year service life. But a few months ago, the Assembly approved the 95% design for Phase 1 of the harbor expansion. Permits, including the Army Corps of Engineers Surprise 408 and the 404, have been approved and bid documents are being drawn up. Seward says he just wants everyone to pause, just for a couple of days. In that time, he wants to poke around and see if there's any flexibility in the grant money set aside for the harbor. Specifically, he wants to see if the $19.5 million in state funds that was secured years ago for the harbor can be used instead for LUTAC. Phase 1 of the project is estimated to cost around $20 million, with another $10-plus million for future phases. Seward says he's going to recommend that the borough redirect its resources toward LUTAC.
I worry every day when I pass by there and I see these heavy forklifts moving heavy containers full of our goods on that concrete surface, which is crumbling and cracking.
He says his motives came down to prioritizing needs over wants.
I believe we need LUTAC, and we want a harbor expansion. And so that's where we're at. We're just taking a moment of pause for, a day or two so I can research, make sure that, if those grants are flexible, then I'll be making a recommendation to the Assembly. If they're not, then we'll stay on course. We'll, continue to do the harbor expansion project. But I can tell you right now, it's going to be concurrently while we're tackling LUTAC.
Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan declined to comment for this story, but Assemblymember Margaret Friedenauer said Seward's announcement came as a surprise. She says he never gave any indication that he was hesitant about the harbor project.
It was shocking that he would suggest we postpone the harbor expansion project without discussing it with the Ports and Harbor Committee or the Assembly.
Friedenauer says she's not against Seward looking into solutions for LUTAC because it is a priority and has been for a while.
I'm skeptical that a borough manager can halt a project at this phase without the Assembly weighing in or without Assembly directing him to do so.
Stopping the harbor project because of LUTAC just doesn't make sense, she says.
We need to be vigilant about pursuing how we're going to fix LUTAC and funding for LUTAC, but that is very separate from the harbor expansion project.
Ryan Cook is the president of the Lynn Canal Gillnetters Association. He's out on the fishing grounds right now, but managed to catch wind of Seward's proposal. He says it's the, quote, stupidest idea he's ever heard.
This project needs to happen, or some of these bigger boats are going to be sitting on the bottom in the next few years. There's spots in there that some of the gill netters on these minus tides only have 6 inches of water underneath of them. Why postpone it? Do you think you can come to this town and just push everybody around?
Assemblymember Tresham Gregg has been outspoken about his discontent for the harbor project as it stands now. He says the dock is essential and the upgraded harbor is not.
Well, it's hard to speak for the rest of the Assembly, but, if they have the best interests of the community at heart, they would understand the situation and act in the best interest.
At a town hall meeting last week about the harbor, residents were updated on the progress and given a chance to speak out for or against the project. Of the 50 or so who showed up, most who voiced their opinions were opposed to one aspect or another of the project. Many are stuck on the wave barrier. A 600-foot steel wall was approved in the design plan because it's more cost-effective than a rubble mound. The borough is now looking for input on phase two, which includes more aesthetics. Assemblymember Diana Lapham says she hopes the public can contain any knee-jerk reactions until more information is gathered about Seward's idea.
He's taking our priorities to heart, and I don't fault him for trying to find a way to repair Lutac Dock and get that done. It's been different to have someone think outside the box.
This issue will be addressed at the next assembly meeting on Tuesday, July 12th at 6:30. And this is an update to that story. An email received from Seward late Wednesday afternoon stated, quote, "Unfortunately, I found shifting grant dollars is not feasible. We're proceeding forward with the harbor expansion," end quote. Alaska's sockeye salmon came back shorter and lighter than usual last year. As sockeye runs shape up this year, biologists have been keeping an eye on their size. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Jack Erickson says that despite a small start this spring, sizes have picked up a little.
Well, this year in Prince William Sound, we saw fish originally coming in a little bit smaller. But since the beginning of the season, the fish have gotten larger. I think we put on about an average of a half a pound. We've seen an increase in the average size of sockeye. From very initial sample sizes that we're getting out of Cook Inlet, sockeye are probably about a half a pound larger. So in those two areas, we're seeing some improvement, and hopefully we'll see that larger size show up here in Bristol Bay as well.
In Area 15C around Haines, the chum size is determined by net restrictions, but the sockeye are fatter and healthier than last year. Mark Sagi is the area commercial fisheries biologist. He says crews are reporting that the sockeye are beautiful and in good shape. Sagi says he doesn't have catch numbers, but the openers have been extended for the past 2 weeks. But Erickson says the return in Bristol Bay is on the small side so far.
We're still looking at smaller fish, similar to last year's numbers. What we are seeing is very early in the season. The fish that were 3 years in the saltwater in the ocean, what we call three ocean fish, they're a little bit smaller than last year, but the ones that have been out 2 years in the ocean, they seem to be a little bit bigger. And on average right now, from our very initial catches, it's averaging about the same as last year for size.
Fish size estimates come from samples taken at counting towers as well as in the commercial harvest. Although that data is available now, Erickson says it's too early to draw many other conclusions about the 2016 run. A university professor is well on his way to a full recovery after being mauled by a bear this spring. On April 18th, University of Alaska Southeast assistant professor Forrest Wagner was mauled by a brown bear while leading a six-day mountaineering course outside Haines. The incident occurred on the northeast side of Mount Emmerich. Wagner was on skis and apparently surprised a bear, which charged and attacked. In retrospect, Wagner says he suspects the bear was not hibernating due to an unusually warm spring, and that a ski track likely landed too close to the bear's den. A bear cub was seen nearby. Bear biologists have found that many bears across coastal Alaska did not fully hibernate during the past winter. Typically, bears hibernate until May. In a release, Wagner said he was thankful that the bear did not hurt any of the people he led onto Mount Emmerich. He said he was grateful for the overwhelming support he received since the incident from family, friends, and colleagues. He said, quote, "It is my privilege and obligation to share and participate in adventure settings in the natural world. I harbor no ill feelings toward the bear," end quote. After 10 surgeries and ongoing physical rehabilitation, Wagner is now walking around and has even climbed peaks on the weekends in Anchorage where he is living during his recovery. A major injury on his left side will require a skin graft. The release said that medical professionals have indicated that he is healing well and expect him to make a full recovery. Wagner expects to return to Juneau in August in time for the start of the new academic year at UAS. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news anytime on our website at khns.org.